Well, please open your Bible for our scripture reading to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we actually read from this psalm last week, and I want to read again from this psalm because it is speaking of course, the value of the Word of God. And today we want to focus on our response to the Word of God. I want to begin reading in Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not unto shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for these words of the psalmist that encourage us to reflect upon the great value of your word and our heartfelt response to it, that we would indeed treasure your word, that we would long after your word, and that your word would cling unto us, and that we would be careful to do according to what you instruct us in your word. I pray that we would be a people of the Word, that we would be a people of the Bible, that we would learn it and live it and love it. And I ask your blessing now on our worship time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please open your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and at this point in Luke's Gospel, we've been now considering a parable that Jesus taught us. Last week we looked at the parable of the soils, also known as the parable of the sower. And we saw that there were four types of soil. And each type of soil represents a type of response to the Word of God. We really want to focus on that good soil. All of us want to be the good soil, the soil that receives in the Word of God and has a response that is a proper faith response to the Word of God, one that produces fruit. Now, as we move forward then in the narrative here in Luke's Gospel, it's interesting how he has put together certain things that fit into that theme, our response to the Word of God. And so in a break from his normal chronological pattern, we're going to see him pull in a couple of incidents that occur not necessarily in time sequence, but incidents that fit the theme that he's developing here on the basis of this parable of the soils. And so let's read on now in Luke 8, beginning in I'm going to read verse 15, which is the conclusion of the parable of the soils, and then read on from there. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, that is, for the crowd. And it was told him by certain, which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, outside, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said to them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do pray that you'll clear our minds of all distractions and allow us to focus now on this passage before us. I pray that we would be good hearers today, hearers of the word proclaimed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit now, is developing this theme that has to do with our response to the Word of God. That's the theme that he's developing. And the verses that we're looking at today inform us that a right response to God's Word involves hearing and heeding and doing it. Hearing, heeding, and doing it. True disciples hear, heed, and do the Word of God. So I intend for my message this morning to be a consideration of that very statement. True disciples hear, heed, and do the Word of God. Well, let's begin with hearing, because hearing is prerequisite to the other two. You can't do the other two until you've done the hearing. And I want you to notice how hearing is stressed in this passage. Look at verse 15. So the good soil represents those who, having heard the word, keep it. So that's first the hearing. And verse 18. My mother and my brethren, take heed therefore how ye hear. How ye hear. And then verse 21. My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So again and again, it's stressed that we need to hear the word. That comes first. Hear it first. We need to be good listeners, hearing the word as good listeners. And in chapter 8, verse 8, at the conclusion of this parable, Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're to be good hearers. I like to illustrate it this way. Think of a student in a classroom. We have several students here today. Think of a student who is casual about skipping class. Oh, I just won't even show up. I don't feel like getting out of bed today. I've got other things to do. I'm going to skip class. Well, a habit of skipping class will be detrimental to their grade. They won't do well in that course. Or how about a student who shows up for class but is daydreaming every time the professor is teaching? All right, they're doing Facebook, they're checking their emails, they're polishing their nails, whatever it is that's distracted them, maybe looking at the guy across the room, that kind of thing, watching the people outside walking by. A lot of daydreaming goes on in the classroom. Well, such a student will not do well in that class. Or how about a student who just never opens the textbook? Who thinks, well, you know, in high school I was able to just show up and take the test and I did okay. And here in college I'm sure I can just do the same thing. Well, they're in for a rude awakening when that first test comes out and they realize that a lot of those test questions came from the textbook reading, which they did not do. So a student in a classroom who doesn't hear the instruction is going to do poorly in that class. Why do we think it's any different in the Christian life? Why do we think that we can skip church and not be affected? Why do we think that we can be distracted while the sermon's going on and that we're going to somehow benefit from that sermon, from being there that day? You know, why do we think that we can, in the Christian life, never crack the textbook of the Christian life and that we're going to be okay? No, we're not going to be okay. Such a person is setting himself up for spiritual failure, a low grade in the eyes of the Lord. So we need to be hearers of the word. And hearing the word primarily involves two things. It involves access, you know, being under the teaching of the word, and involves investment of time. So I want to cover both of those. First, access. You need to get to where you can hear the word. You need to be where the word is being taught. And I think you see where I'm going with this. You need to be in church. You need to get a regular diet of the teaching of the word of God. You need to be faithful in your church attendance. And even if you miss church on a given Sunday, I would encourage you, order the CD or stream it on sermon audio. You know, don't miss out on that feeding on the word of God. I mean, after all, how often do you skip a meal? Would you go an entire week without eating? You know, no one would neglect the body that way. So let us not neglect our soul in that way. I like that verse in Jeremiah 15:16. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Do you rejoice in the reading, in the hearing of the word of God? I hope that you do. And if it delights you in that way, as it should, then why miss out? Why deprive yourself of that joy and rejoicing of the heart? So I encourage you to feast upon the spiritual meat of the word of God, to be under the teaching of the word of God on a regular basis, and let the word of God rejoice your heart. So hearing the word of God involves access, and it involves an investment of time. We need to devote time to hearing the word of God. You know, think about financial investments. Let's suppose, you're considering a financial investment. If you invest zero, what are you going to get back in return? Zero. We must invest in the reading of the word of God. Think about weight training. If you're trying to build muscle mass and weight training, if you don't invest time in working out on a regular basis, what's going to happen to those muscles? They're going to turn to flab, all right? And so we need a regular pattern of lifting the Word of God and strengthening our spiritual muscles. Or the illustration I gave earlier of students who never crack open a textbook. If you're not doing that heavy lifting of lifting up that textbook and opening it up and spending time in it, investing time in the study of that material, you will do poorly in your class. And the same is certainly true in the spiritual realm. If you want to reap spiritual dividends, the dividends of growth and a close walk with God and experiencing the blessings of God in your life, then you must invest time in this book. You need to be investing time in the hearing and the reading of the Word of God. And the person who does so, the believer who does so, who invests time in the hearing and the reading of the Word of God, that will become evident in their life. And I think that's the point, really, of verses 16 and 17. Let's just reread those and see how this fits into the theme that we have here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Well, we kind of have a picture here. The light, of course, would be representing the light of God's truth. And more specifically in this context, it's probably referring to the light of Jesus' teaching. of course, focused on the gospel message itself. So it's the light of the gospel. Now, I want to just say that I really pondered these two verses a lot this week, because I'm aware that there's a diversity of interpretation of these verses. And that kind of bothered me. I wanted to understand, why is it that people who study these verses come away with a different understanding of what they mean? And ultimately, I came to the conclusion that the reason there are so many different interpretations of these verses is because they sound an awful lot like some other verses in our Bible. And so a person who's studying these verses comes to the text with what we call a pre-understanding. Their mind is already loaded with some other verses. And so when they read this passage, they say, oh, aha, that reminds me of this other passage, and there must be a connection, and they must mean the same thing. Well, this is actually a common mistake in biblical interpretation. So we want to make sure the context here is what's driving our interpretation in a primary sense. So, Jesus said on another occasion, another sermon in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Many approach that passage with an evangelistic thrust, and then they come to this passage and say it means the same thing. Well, I don't think that is actually the correct interpretation here. I don't think Jesus is primarily concerned with evangelism here and necessarily letting our light shine before men. And so we want to be careful to use the context of Luke 8 to drive our understanding. And what we see here in these verses, in verses 16 and 17, they're coupled together. Jesus states his principle in verse 17. And he illustrates it in verse 16. So the illustration comes first, and then the principle that he's illustrating comes second. The principle is that every hidden thing will be made evident. Every hidden thing will be made evident. And then he's illustrating that point with this thing about the lamp not being concealed. So in verse 17, we've got a couple words here that are interesting. The word secret means to conceal from plain view. It comes from a Greek word that we get our English word cryptic. So we say something's cryptic, you know, it's kind of hidden from our understanding. Okay? Hidden from our view. And then there's another word there, and that is the word hidden. And the word hidden in that verse is a synonym. It means hidden away. It's a Greek word from which we get our English word apocrypha. These were the books of the Bible that were hidden away because they were deemed not to be inspired. So therefore, they're not actually books of the Bible. They're the apocrypha. The books that you might see in a Catholic Bible, for example, that were deemed not to be inspired by God. And so these, they were hidden away from view. So these secret things, these hidden things, that Jesus is saying every hidden thing will be made evident. Well, we haven't answered the question yet. What is the hidden thing that he's talking about? Don't you want to know that? What is that hidden thing? Well, I think we need to, again, let the context determine that. Let's look back at verse 10. Verse 10, now here is where Jesus is interacting with his disciples and he's explaining to them the reason for speaking in parables. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. So I think the hidden thing that Jesus is talking about later in the passage is those mysteries of the kingdom of God. Those mysteries of the kingdom of God were hidden from the unbelievers. Jesus concealed them in parables. And so they're hidden in that sense. But I think there's another sense in which the mysteries of the kingdom are hidden. And that is the fact that in the parable, the seed is the what? The Word of God. And that Word of God is hidden, is put into that good soil. And what happens to that seed in the good soil? It germinates, it sprouts, it grows up into a full-grown plant that is fruit-producing. You see, what was concealed in the heart has now become evident to all because there's fruit in the life. That person heard the Word of God, and it has sprouted up and grown, and now there's fruit that everyone can see. And so the hidden thing has been made manifest. I think there may very well also be an eschatological point here, that is to say, looking far into the future, when at some point in the future there will be a judgment where God will make manifest all things. Everything that we've done, whether good or bad, will be made manifest. That may also be in view here. So the light of God's truth dispels spiritual darkness in the same way that physical light dispels darkness in a room. The light of God's word dispels spiritual darkness in our life. And the person who has the light of the word of God in them, that will become manifest. It will become evident to everyone around. People will be able to see the results of that seed that's been planted in them. The light of God's word will shine forth from their lives. And those who come in contact with that person will have the light of God's truth shining upon them. They'll be confronted with the truth of God. So I think that's what's in view here. And one commentator summarized it this way, Joel Green, quote, "Jesus is making the point that how one has heard the word of God cannot be hidden, but eventually will manifest itself, either in practices appropriate to God's people or in failure to do so," end quote. And so whether a person is good soil, whether a person is really responding with a faith response to the word of God, to God's truth, will become evident in their lives. So I want to ask you, in light of this, in light of the fact that we need to be hearing God's word, that we need to be active listeners, that we need to devote some time, invest time in the reading of God's word, I want to ask you, how much time do you invest in the hearing and reading of God's word? That's the application. Are we receiving in the word of God and showing fruit in our lives? Is it evident? If you're investing a lot of time in the hearing and reading of God's word, it's going to become evident in your life. You're going to become more fruitful. You're going to live for God. Your light's going to shine brighter for the Lord. Now, I realize that to some extent, this is a time management issue. I mean, we all have the same number of hours in the day, in the week, and we all have to figure out how we're going to use that time. So I'm going to ask a couple convicting questions here. If you're missing church because you have other things to do, then what should you do? Well, you should reevaluate your priorities. Because you want to invest time in the hearing of the Word of God. If you find yourself missing your daily devotions, especially often, because your day is too full, then, my friend, your day is too full. You need to find a way to eliminate some of those things, minimize some of those things, reallocate your time to make sure that that is given priority in your life. To be in God's Word is so vitally important to our daily Christian living. I'll ask you a convicting question. How much time do you devote to your favorite pastime or ball team or hobby? Now, I'm not saying those are bad things, and probably all of us can make some time for those things. But if those things are crowding out your time in the Word of God, then you need to consider reprioritizing and reallocating your time. Now, here at Grace Baptist Church, we provide you with at least 4 opportunities every week to be under the teaching of the Word of God. And we do that because we love you. We want to see you grow and prosper in your Christian life. And I trust and pray that whenever I stand up here and teach you, that I'm teaching the very Word of God and not my own words. So my goal is that this would benefit you, would edify you, would strengthen you. And for those who avail themselves to all 4 of those opportunities, and I'm talking Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, our prayer meeting, you are going to grow faster than the ones who only come once a week. I'm just stating a fact here, a spiritual fact. And so I would just encourage all of you to evaluate, you know, how hungry are you for the Word of God? Are you maybe not getting fed enough? You find yourself a little spiritually anemic at the end of the week. Well, please pray and consider that you will grow more, you will be fed more, you will be stronger spiritually the more you get in the Word of God, the more the Word of God comes into you. So true disciples hear the Word of God, are available, and listen to the teaching of the Word. I want to move on now to the second part. True disciples hear and heed the Word of God. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 18, just the first part of the verse. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed, Jesus says. Watch out. Pay attention. This is a warning. Warning! Pay attention to the Word of God. Jesus intends this as a warning to the hearer. Now, as I was thinking about warnings, it kind of reminded me of various warnings that we see printed in instruction manuals and owner's manuals and so forth. And let's just suppose that you're going to undertake a very large landscaping project on your property. And you decide you're going to save some time, so you're going to go down to the rent-all place, and you're going to rent one of those mini excavators. And you've never used one before. All right? So I thought I would help you out here. I consulted the operation and maintenance manual for the Caterpillar Model 304.5 mini hydraulic excavator. All right? Are you ready? Do not operate or work this on this machine unless you have read and understand the instructions and warnings in the operations and maintenance manuals. Failure to follow the instructions or to heed the warnings could result in injury or death. So have your attention. Safety precautions and warnings are provided in this manual and on this product. If these hazard warnings are not heeded, bodily injury and death could occur to you and or other persons. Caterpillar recommends using Caterpillar replacement parts or parts with equivalent specifications. Failure to heed this warning can lead to premature failures, product damage, personal injury, and death. These are serious warnings. Warning, the accumulator may contain high pressure oil. Do not service the accumulator or any hydraulic line until all the pressure has been relieved. See the service manual for proper procedures. Failure to heed this warning could result in injury or death. Well, I think you get the point, don't you? The manual is just peppered with all of these kind of warnings. And it says, take heed. Failure to heed these warnings can lead to dire consequences. Well, folks, our Bibles are full of such warnings. Take heed. Take heed to these warnings. And the consequences of ignoring the warnings that we have in our Bibles are dire. They're detrimental to our spiritual growth and development and may even lead to premature death because of the judgment of God. So when our Bibles have such warnings, and here Jesus is saying, take heed. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. What Jesus is saying and what he would say to us today is every one of you take heed to the word proclaimed because it is vital to your spiritual life. We must take heed. Taking heed to God's Word involves a couple things here. It involves clinging to the Word, and I'm using kind of the sense of the Word here in verse 15, where it says, those having heard the Word, keep it. The word keep there carries with it the idea of clinging, holding fast, holding on to something, clinging to the Word of God. This is what I would call active listening. Active listening. You know what active listening is, don't you? You know, you're talking to someone, and you're very interested in what they have to say. I mean, really interested. And so you're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're riveted to every word because you're very interested in what this person has to say. That's active listening. And that's certainly what we should be doing in terms of the proclamation of the Word of God. Ken Ramey has written a fairly new book called Expository Listening. And I really like what he wrote in the introduction of that book. Let me read this for you. quote, in order for you to receive the maximum benefit from the sermons you hear, you must partner with the preacher so that the Word of God accomplishes its intended purpose of transforming your life. Nothing creates a more explosive, electrifying, life-hanging atmosphere, I love his words, than when the lightning bolts from the Spirit-empowered preacher hit the lightning rods of a Spirit-illuminated listener. I really like that. George Whitefield, one of the most dynamic preachers of all time, once said, quote, if only all who hear me this day would seriously apply their hearts to practice what has now been told them, how ministers would see Satan like lightning fall from heaven and people find the word preached sharper than a two-edged sword and mighty through God to the pulling down of the devil's strongholds, end quote. Puritan Thomas Watson said this, quote, when we come to the word preached, we come to a matter of the highest importance. Therefore, we should stir up ourselves and hear with the greatest devotion, end quote. And so we must take heed, cling to the Word of God, hold on to every Word of God, and cherish it in our hearts. So taking heed involves clinging to the Word, and it involves accountability to the Word. That's what's mentioned here in the last part of the verse, verse 18. For to him who has, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, given the context, I think Jesus is painting a contrast between those who are believers and those who are unbelievers, between the true disciples and the truth rejectors. He's painting that contrast. But he's arguing from the general to the specific. And the general principle is that everyone is accountable before God for how he or she responds to the Word. We are accountable before God for the truth that we've been exposed to. You know, think of the Word of God as pure rainwater falling from heaven and falling to the earth. What kind of ground are you? Are you like the hard-packed clay where that rainwater falls and just runs off the surface of the ground? Are you like that good soil that's been loosened up and plowed and the field has been plowed, freshly plowed, and that rainwater falls and soaks into the ground? And it carries nutrients to those plants, and those plants grow and produce fruit for the harvest. That's a picture of how we respond to the Word of God. Are we like hard-packed clay? Are we like that loosened soil, receptive to the Word of God? Think about the privileges we have. We live in a land of religious freedom. Most homes have more than one Bible. And not only that, but you have a lot of access to things on the internet as well. Every week you're exposed to expository preaching. You're hearing the Word of God taught. And if you do go out on the internet, please be careful, but you'll find that there's a vast repository of very good Bible teaching. And so we have all of this. We're so blessed with abundance. Luke 12:48 says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You see, we're accountable before God for what we're doing with all of this that we're privileged to have. So true disciples, hear and heed and do the Word of God. I want to move on to that third one now, doing the Word of God. We might say that this is where the spiritual rubber meets the road of life. Are we really doing the Word of God? And I'm going to take this principle from verses 19 through 21. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told by certain, which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Hear the word of God and do it. That's the principle. We need to be doing the word of God. And Luke is including this incident here out of chronological order, because it fits into the theme that he's trying to develop, the theme that the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to develop. The true brethren of Christ are those who hear the Word of God and do it. Failure to do the Word of God doesn't always lead to some sin of commission. Oftentimes it's a sin of omission, things that you are not doing that you should be doing. And so that's why it's put this way. We need to be doing the Word of God. A failure to do what God wants us to do is a sin of omission. Now, you may know the name Richard DeHaan. He's from Radio Bible Class, and he's a regular contributor to the devotional, Our Daily Bread. He wrote this in one of his articles. Listen to this story. I read about a man in New York City who died at the age of 63 without ever having had a job. He spent his entire adult life in college. He had acquired so many academic degrees that they looked like the alphabet behind his name. Why did this man spend his entire life in college? Well, when he was a child, a wealthy relative died who had named him as a beneficiary in his will. It stated that he was to be given enough money to support him every year as long as he stayed in school. That was not wise. And it was to be discontinued when he had completed his education. So the man had met the terms of the will, but by staying in school indefinitely, he turned a technicality into a steady income for life, something his benefactor never intended. Unfortunately, he spent thousands of hours listening to professors and reading books, but never doing anything. He acquired more and more knowledge, but didn't put it into practice, end quote. Well, the sad truth is that that story is true about many Christians. Many Christians who grew up in a Christian home and heard the Bible, they went to church all their growing up years. Maybe they're still going to church on a regular basis. They're sitting under the teaching, the sound teaching of the Word of God. They even have a habit of reading their Bible, and they check it off every day. But there's no follow-through. It's all just educating the mind, giving them knowledge, but not leading to the doing. They're not putting what they learn into practice. And therefore, they are hearers of the Word and not doers. Well, what does doing the Word of God involve? Well, it certainly involves responsiveness. Hearing leads to doing. We hear, we heed, and we do. For the mature Christian, this should just be automatic. Hear, heed, do. Hear, heed, do. That's how we should respond to the Word of God. Think of the tennis player who's out there and he's practiced a lot. All right, what does he practice? He's practiced how to return one of those high power serves. And he's practiced that return so many times, moving in different directions, responding to that serve that's coming at him so fast that he can hardly blink, all right? He'd miss it. But he gets good at it. And what has happened? He's developed really almost an impulse response. As soon as he sees that tennis ball, that tennis racket swing, he's looking at the eyes of his opponent, he's watching that ball and where it's coming, and just in a flash, he's responding because he's trained himself to respond to that serve. His reaction time keeps getting quicker and quicker because of his practice. Well, that's really the way it should be for the Christian. Think of us as being practiced in the hearing, heeding, and then doing of the Word of God. And our reaction time should get quicker. You know, we should be more eager as we hear the Word of God, just instantly implement it in our lives. Instantly do what we've been told to do from the Word of God. There should be no deliberation, no debate with the Holy Spirit, no hesitation in our heart. We hear it, we heed it, and we do it. It should be that automatic. I'd like you to turn over to James chapter 1, because he addresses this. Now, James is a very plain-speaking writer of the New Testament. Sometimes he's a little blunt, but he tells us what we need to hear. James 1, I want to begin in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, overflowing of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's talking about the Word of God being grafted into your heart. And then the next verse, you know, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you want to experience God's blessing for you? Then you have to be a doer of the word. So doing the word involves a responsiveness, an eagerness to implement what we hear. It also involves testimony. Our testimony before the world. I think that's the message there in Luke 8, is that we are to show others by the way that we respond to the word of God that we are believers, that we have fruit in our lives, that we are doers of the word. Your response to the word of God ought to be visible to other people. They ought to be able to see that you are hearing and then doing the word of God. And think of it this way, if you're living the Word of God, then you're a doer of the Word, and people will notice that. So you need to openly live the Word. And in this sense, yes, you are the light of the world. Your testimony matters. You're to show other people and other believers also by your example that you're a person who hears, heeds, and does the Word of God. So let me just summarize what we've heard today. True disciples hear, heed, and do the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God involves access. You need to be where the Word of God is being proclaimed. You need to be in your Bibles, in your devotional time. It involves an investment of your time. You need to make it important in your life. Heeding the Word of God involves clinging and accountability to God. And doing the Word is a matter of responsiveness and testimony. And folks, this is the path to blessing in our lives. We will be blessed. We will be most blessed if we will only invest more time in the Word and bringing it into our lives, heeding what God is telling us, and then living according to what we have heard. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are challenged by this passage today, but we're also encouraged by the great promises that you've given to us. A promise of blessing, of great spiritual reward, of growth and strengthening. We thank you, Lord, that there is a great promise here if we would only hear, heed, and do the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to make wise choices, to really apply what we've heard today. This is a very practical message for us. We know that you have spoken to us from your word, and so help us to take heed to what we've heard even today. In Jesus' name, amen.